This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, Iran Urgozi.
That was perfect. Iran, the way you said it was just exactly right.
Thank you very much. Okay. And you're from Harmonix, and it's great to have you talking to us today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay. Of course, you're not just Harmonix. I mean, you guys have done a tremendous amount of things, of course, in the last couple of decades now, and not just forming something called Harmonix in 1995 with your cohort, Alex Rigopoulos, who you met at MIT, so at the Media Labs there, while you were, it was yourself that was the electrical and computer engineer, is that right? That's your background?
Or? Yes. Yep, that's right. So, Alex and I met at the Media Lab at MIT, and we both have backgrounds in music. Me more in music and computer science and electrical engineering, and Alex also, but Alex primarily in kind of music. Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, so the big deal is Melbourne. Here in Melbourne, we've got the Australian Centre for Moving Images exhibition. It's quite an amazing exhibition plus event, which runs from June the 28th right into October. It's called Game Masters, and you have got some of your work will be displayed, or I wouldn't say displayed, but actually interactive, will actually be, people will be able to perform with it, which is pretty exciting. How do you feel about that sort of exposure here down under in Australia? Is it the first time this has sort of happened to you, or...?
Well, it's I think it's the first time it's happened to us down under. every once in a while, some opportunity comes up where kind of the public gets to experience this, you know, what we've done kind of in a larger than life scene. And, you know, I have to say that it's, it's pretty remarkable. It feels pretty amazing to have this thing done because we're, you know, for the most part, you know, we think of ourselves as game developers who, you know, have a thing about music and wanting to get everyone to experience music in a deeper way. And, you know, we've done that primarily through making games. But, but also what sort of happened unintentionally, I think, or certainly, you know, we had no idea this was happening, is that especially with games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band, they've kind of, you know, they've become a bit of the sort of cultural phenomenon, and you know, and that completely blew us away when we were kind of realizing this was happening. So, you know, we're sort of almost, you know, kind of humbled that this has happened, and that we're getting kind of this kind of exposure, you know, because you know, we like I said, we have our primary mission ever since the day the company got started was to bring the joy of music to the masses, and you know, so I kind of when I see kind of things like this happen, it really sort of makes me feel good about the fact that we've been able to achieve this kind of goal.
Yeah, well, it looks pretty exciting from the sort of images they've sent me just in an email of how they plan to stage your work, and it's not just Guitar Hero, but it's actually the dance one that you do. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes,
what do you
Central.
Know of?
Yeah, so Dance Central is a game that we that we made a couple of years ago, and it sort of launched as one of the debut games for Microsoft Kinect. You know, Kinect is it's a 3D spatial sensor that can tell exactly where a person is or several people are in front of the TV and the camera and what they're doing. And, you know, for us, it was the perfect technology to marry with the kind of with a dance game. And we, you know, we'd had sort of wanted to branch out from what, you know, what we call the band simulation game or the music instrument simulation game, you know, and creating a dance game seemed like the perfect opportunity with this sensing technology. So, you know, what you'll see here is, you know, this thing kind of shown on an enormous screen where, you know, this sort of thing happens with Harmonix games, but you have, you know, usually you have one or maybe two people playing, but you can also have, you know, 100 other people watching and kind of moving along with it. So especially with a dance game, we see this constantly where the game is detecting one player, and that's the person, one or two players, and those are the people who are getting scored. But there's a whole cadre of folks behind them dancing along with them having fun, and You know, that's really what these games are all about. It's they've become very sort of social, and I don't mean in sort of the social networking sense, but in the traditional sense
actually,
you know, you have a whole bunch of people all together in one room having fun, and and it kind of brings people together in this in a really wonderful way.
Yeah, I guess that's the remarkable and the wonderful thing about what you've done, combined with yourself and your team. You're bringing, like you said, bringing it out away from the computers, away from the console of one, maybe just two people, and, you know, really involving more than two people, more than one person. And that's really important, I think, with this technology. What inspired you to, right from the beginning, I mean, a lot of people must ask you this, what inspired you guys to do something like Guitar Hero? Was it, were you air guitar enthusiasts or actual musicians yourselves? How did that start?
Well, so it's funny. Alex and I started the company, and yes, we're both musicians as well as sort of computers and technologists, you know. But and Alex probably is more of a rock musician than I am. I'm actually a classically trained clarinetist, which is sort of a kind of funny juxtaposition on what harmonics has done. Mm. But you know, music is music, right? And we both know what it feels like to perform music in front of a crowd, and what we know this awesome high that you get from playing and playing in front of people. And, you know, music is a very social experience, fundamentally. And so, you know, what our goal was at the very beginning, starting in 1995 when the company got started, was to bring use technology to sort of bring the joy of making music to everyone in the world. And we weren't really sure how we were going to do that in the beginning, and it wasn't until 2005 that we made Guitar Hero, and that was actually this wonderful collaboration between us and this company called Red Octane. And we had created the software in the game, and they had created the hardware, you know. So so it was sort of the game that we had always known we wanted to make, but it was really Red Octane kind of stepping up and saying, you know, we will let's partner up where you make the software, we make the hardware. They had a lot of expertise in this, that, you know, that really kind of what sort of made it happen.
Yeah.
So we had made a bunch of music games before Guitar Hero, but that was really the game that kind of put us on the map, so to speak. You know, the kind of the sales of that game went far beyond anything that we had done up till that point.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to have led to one of the most amazing contributions and collaborations, which is the Beatles Rock Band back in 2008, 2009.
That was an amazing experience.
That must have been with Apple Records and some of the people who, you know, worked obviously with Paul McCartney, John Lennon, and so forth. How was that? I mean, did you have to sort of sit down for a week?
Yeah, it was one of the hardest projects we've ever done. You know, for one thing, it was the first project that we had done where we were putting in real character likenesses of real people, and it wasn't just real people, it was the Beatles, for Christ's sake. You know, you had to get those down perfect. And, you know, they have such a, I mean, obviously, this is, they had such a legacy, and it almost felt like, you know, we had so much pressure to make sure that the product that we were coming out, which was going to have the Beatles' name on it, would be able to live up to things that the Beatles, you know, that the Beatles should be lived up to. So it's, I don't know, you know, it was, there was a lot of pressure on us, but at the same time, we felt like we were in this position of a once-in-a-lifetime experience, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to make this game, and we really felt like it happened. You know, the game that we delivered, we feel like is, you know, is something that can stand side by side with all the rest of the, you know, wonderful offerings that the Beatles have produced over the years. Mm. Might I add, in actually a fairly short amount of time, you know, their entire catalog was outputted in less than a decade, right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
So kind of an amazing collaboration. It obviously took a very long time to get the deal hammered out, and there's a lot of different players, and with all the music licensing and working with Apple and working with Giles Martin, and it took a lot of work from a lot of different people to get this thing done. But it remains one of my favorite games.
Yeah, well, one would hope so. Okay, so you guys have come from a musical background as well as obviously a tech background. If it came down to the choice, you've chosen game designer, not band or member of a band, I take it. So would you ever consider giving up game designing and biting the bullet and picking up the pick and forming a band? Would that be an option in the future?
Well, what's funny is that I've kind of gotten to have my cake and eat it too, so to speak, because I actually am in a band. Now, me, it's classical music, not rock band, not a rock band, but I do play in this group called Radius Ensemble, which is a group here in the Boston area, in Boston, Massachusetts, and in fact, we have a concert coming up next weekend, which I'm playing in. And so I somehow managed to both run the technical organization here. I'm the chief technical officer at Harmonix, and at the same time play, you know, play clarinet in a professional chamber music group. So and that's actually true for a lot of folks here. There are people who you know, either are artists or programmers or game designers or or whatnot, who, you know, who are also in a band. And in some cases, their bands have become quite successful to the point where they're, you know, they have real touring schedules and commitments. And, you know, we like to accommodate folks who are in that situation. So it's kind of a unique company where, you know, there's a lot of musicians here, and we're very supportive of careers that people might have in music that they're interested in cultivating.
Yeah, it sounds like a great blend that's actually worked, where business can work and tech can work with people who are musically inclined. You don't hear that all the time. You normally see them busking somewhere, you know, can you spare a dime? But this is a very positive outcome.
No, but here it works out pretty well. One of the things that maybe is not as well known is that Harmonix actually has a dedicated band practice room in the basement.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And anyone who's an employee here is allowed to sign that out and you know, practice when we have a full, you know, full rig over there with an amp stack and everything else. So
is that the, how they get the job? Do they have to audition?
I would say it's, you know, it's one of those desirables but not required.
Yeah, it's probably a bit mean, maybe. now, all right, so video game music is what we're looking at tonight on Sci-Fi and Scream. Apart from your own music, obviously, and all your colleagues and so forth, do you have a favorite in that field, in that genre?
Oh, a favorite band?
A video game music. Actually, video game music. You know, the stuff that you hear while you're playing, you're going, if you play. I don't know, do you play any particular games, any 3D games or platform games yourself?
Oh, you're saying do I have a favorite soundtrack from from a game
that
I recently played?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. No, I don't. Nothing like immediately comes to mind.
Oh, that's okay.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of great ones here, but I don't think I have a specific answer for you.
Because here in Melbourne, they had the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, which is a full kitted out symphony orchestra for the size of the city, which is like just over 3 million. And they did video games unplugged. So they actually did the themes and soundtracks and scores to games such as Assassin's Creed 2 and Mass Effect 3, blah, blah. Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
On the stage, big.
Oh, no, no, I know. Yeah, there's some, I mean, there's some amazing production values that, you know, and there's some wonderful composers who write just amazing music for, you know, for games. It's funny, at even though Harmonix makes music games, what ends up happening is that we're actually not involved in those sort of large-scale productions.
Oh, okay.
Because all of our because all of our music is licensed from bands and from artists,
of
right?
Of course,
So it's sort of funny, we're a music game company, yet we don't use music in the sort of traditional way that that a Mass Effect might use it, you know.
Hmm, interesting. Oh, I didn't think of that. Now, just before I let you go, because we're going to have to wrap it probably soon, just thinking again about the music and looking at online on, I think it was Time.com, announced in 2009, you were in the top 100, you two, you and Alex, as far as most influential people.
Oh, yeah, the Time 100. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
That's exciting. I love the picture of you on the table. Not doing air guitar, but doing real guitar. And it was written by Stephen Van Zandt. Now, I guess for your rocking partner, that's probably a thrill. But how does it feel having people of that caliber, you know, rock gods as such, really digging what you do?
Well, okay, so like it was completely surreal that this thing happened, right? Back in sort of 2008, we're kind of in the heat of the moment, you know, making these games and scrambling and trying to make the next one, and the, you know, the whole category is exploding, and all of a sudden being selected to be part of the Time 100 was you know, it was sort of jaw-dropping for us. Yeah, it was kind of unreal. And you know, I remember actually going to the event where, you know, so they have this nice gala party that they throw for for the recipients of the awards. Mm. And, you know, you have, like, that year, I think, you know, Mark Zuckerberg was there.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, you know, you have, and you know, some of my musical heroes are there, like Peter Gabriel is there, and
wow.
Herbie Hancock is there.
Oh.
So you have, you know, who else? You know, John McCain, who was running for president at the time, or you know, it's
bizarre
just,
mix.
It's kind of mind blowing to think that we should be kind of in this very influential circle, and it sort of made us kind of realize that, oh, you know, gosh, we really have sort of created something here that has turned into a cultural phenomenon. And, you know, there's something about when, you know, we still go to work every day and we still are all, you know, trying to do our jobs every day. And sort of you can kind of go on like that and sort of not realize that this thing is happening in the world, you know.
Mm.
Because fundamentally I love what I do, and I come in and I try to solve hard problems and, you know, work with people here. And then the other thing to realize, of course, is that, yes, we got a lot of the credit, but it's really the whole company that deserves the credit, because we have a lot of very talented artists, designers, programmers, you know, production staff, you name it, and they all, you know, they all contribute towards towards the creation of these games. So, you know, it's wonderful and humbling and kind of surreal all at the same time.
You've got to have someone who's the face on the T-shirt, though. And that's obviously you too.
I suppose so, yeah.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there, because I hate it when they do intrude, and we've taken up a lot of your time. All right, Iran Urgozi, I've got to get that right. I see one of the creators, the co-creator of Dance Central 2 and Guitar Hero and all those numerous offspring of that. You've got Encore Rocks, the 80s, which I love, and, of course, you did Rock Band. Many other things. What's coming up for you guys? Anything you can share from Harmonix?
Yeah, so we just very recently announced that we have a new game coming out for the Rock Band series,
mm-hmm.
Called Rock Band Blitz. And this is a game that will be a download-only game for the consoles. And the nice thing about this game is that if you have bought any of the previous Rock Band games, then all of the music that you have will instantly work in this game as well. But this game does not require a peripheral. It does not require a guitar or drums or anything like that. You just use your controller, and you get to play all the different instruments. It's a kind of a new take on making a music game that uses the music that you already have. And so you can buy it and of course, play the music there and buy more music for it if you're interested in that. But and it's a game that's kind of much more arcadey and sort of you know, tied to social and Facebook and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we're really excited by that, because we sort of view it as a new way of you know, a new way of doing new things with the music that you already have.
Sounds beautiful. And I guess you guys be looking at apps and things like that as well. Like, you'd be able to do this on your iPhone one day or an Android.
Yes, we're looking to expand the platforms. You know, the first foray is into the consoles, but we're also looking beyond that as well.
Yep. Ooh, awesome. So when we're on the train and the train's late, there's going to be a lot of music happening. Which is great. I guess that's going to be cool. All right, look, Iran, it's been fantastic talking to you from Harmonix. You are, in the top 100, and certainly for us on Sci-Fi and Squeam. So thank you for talking to us today. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Sonny. Thanks very much.
All righty, thank you. I hope you can come to Australia. Have you been before?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
You'll have to come over.
I've been into your neighborhood. I've been to Japan a number of times, but I kind of have to make it a little further south there.
It's a bit further south, but yeah, I think it's manageable. Bring your clarinet as well. Because I can see
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah,
I can see that's a benefit.
No, but I do hope to make it, and I hope to be able to make it sometime between June and October to actually see the
exhibition. Yeah, you'll have to play it as well. You know that.
That's right.
You know that. All right. Cool. I'll let you go. Thanks very much for talking to us today. Okay. Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye
bye. Bye.
Hi there. This is Iran Urgozi, creator of Guitar Hero, Rock Band, and Dance Central, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.